Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Both the mental health system and the correction system in Vermont are facing major pressures. And in many ways, the two systems are conjoined. More and more of our prison population is facing physical and mental health needs, sometimes related to aging, that our facilities just cannot keep up with. And when the corrections population is being treated in centers that would otherwise address the mental health needs of the general population, an already taxed system breaks down. People in crisis are still waiting days in emergency rooms for beds to open up in dedicated psychiatric facilities, nearly 7 years after Tropical Storm Irene flooded the state hospital in Waterbury and forced the state to come up with a new plan. The Agency of Human Services was tasked with coming up with a plan to address the needs of the population it serves, and a big, new, bold proposal made its debut this week. The centerpiece is the construction of a campus-style correctional facility in Franklin County, though it could conceivably move, that would have space for 925 people. It would serve juvenile offenders, men, women, state prisoners, federal prisoners. It would offer psychiatric treatment for people serving out sentences, those yet to be tried as well. And in moving this population, the medical facilities currently dealing with backlogs in the general population should be able to address some of their shortcomings and free up space. There are a lot of details, and this proposal has the potential to significantly change both mental health treatment and corrections in this state. So we're going to spend the hour looking at it now. And we've invited three of the key state officials who will be charged with implementing changes. Al Gobe is Vermont Secretary of Human Services. Secretary Gobe, nice to have you back on the program.
Thank you.
Melissa Bailey is Commissioner of the Department of Mental Health. Nice to have you back, Commissioner.
Thank you.
And Lisa Menard is Commissioner of the Department of Corrections. Nice to have you back as well, Commissioner Menard.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
Secretary Gobe, I'd like to start with you to give us the real, both sort of overarching but also very specific problem that you're trying to fix, that you were charged with coming up with a plan to fix. What's the crux of the problem?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we were tasked with taking a look at basically the populations that we serve and whether or not we have the facilities that are necessary to care for them. And what we did is we started working.
And is the answer to that no?
Yes. Let me be clear. The answer is no.
The answer is no. You don't have the facilities to care for the population that you're trying to serve and care for.
Correct. And I think that what folks need to understand is we started looking at it as what would you make as your first move? What would you repair first? What would you replace first? And it sort of quickly came to us that this was a multi-departmental problem across AHS, and that by looking at it through populations and trying to figure out what you would do first, you could never figure out what the first move would be because you didn't have a vision of where you were trying to get to. And so we kind of stopped where we were on the work on the report and said, we need to develop an actual vision of where we would like the end state to be for what we know and articulate that. And that way come back to the beginning. And that way if you say, hey, I want to build a temporary forensic unit in a correctional facility, you can say, well, why temporary? And then when would you do permanent? And if you can't answer those questions, planning just doesn't work. And so the report is very population-based, not really facility-based. And I think it does a good job of sort of answering some critical questions we have. And what's interesting is the big vision, the big reveal is this 925-bed facility. But that's not actually what I think is the big reveal. To me, the big reveal is the mental health part of this, because that's where I actually think that we don't have the facilities that we need in terms of the highest priority to fix. And so this vision allows us to get at that. But in the report, we also call out specific other steps that we need to take to work on other parts of our mental health system. So, you know, I see this as a mental health population-based vision that builds out a better and more modern correctional facility.
All right. So we're going to get to all of these details, but let me ask you a simplified, streamlined question coming up from that, which is just how does building a new prison fix a problem, the key problem with mental health care in this state.
Right. So you mentioned in the introduction that we have folks waiting in emergency rooms for beds to receive treatment. And so we've held a series of meetings to say why. Why don't we have flow in our mental health system? And, you know, one of the statistics that we've revealed through our analysis is that almost half of the folks that are at our state hospital located in Berlin are actually there because they are what I think of as a person that is court involved. And there's better technical definitions for forensic patients that I leave to the Commissioner of Mental Health, and other definitions of corrections that I leave to the Commissioner of Corrections. But just as a commoner, those are the terms I would use. And so when half of your system has court-involved patients, it basically slows down the flow of the system. And so forensic capacity helps us with total mental health capacity in an inpatient setting. So as part of this 925-bed facility, we propose to build 20 forensic inpatient hospital beds. That would help the flow in the system. We also propose some other things in the mental health arena, but that's what's in the correctional facility we're proposing. In addition,
so two things there, right? You're saying that not only would building this new facility free up capacity in the facilities that are already existing, but also you would build into this new correctional facility this specific unit that would be for what we're calling forensic patients, and we need to define that, but basically for court-ordered patients or people who are not serving out sentences but are in dealing in the system already. But basically you'd build a separate system within this facility.
Right. And so the forensic unit would actually be 50 beds, 20 would be inpatient, and 30 would be outpatient. But I think we should stop here and let the commissioners define these terms for the public.
Absolutely, because forensic, I think, is a very confusing term to people. So I don't know which of the – I mean, it affects both of you. So
right.
Commissioner Bailey?
Sure. So forensic, I said yesterday in committee that we talk about the big F and the little F. So there are many populations that sort of fall under the forensics definition. So when we're talking about forensics in a broad sense, we're talking about individuals that are involved in the criminal justice system in some capacity. So the individuals that Secretary Gobe is referencing at the Vermont Psychiatric Care Hospital tend to be in a couple different categories. One could be that they have been found incompetent to stand trial and they are remaining in an inpatient level of care because they need that level of care still. If they become competent at some point, they may be able to be brought back to the court system and go through that process. We have individuals who are court ordered, so they have been charged with committing a crime, show up at court, are screened by a crisis screener and determine that an inpatient evaluation is most appropriate, and they would move through our system in some way. Those are the individuals that are often showing up at our emergency departments at this point. And then we have individuals who are involved in Lisa's system, and Commissioner Menard, I'd let her answer those questions.
I'd be happy to.
Great.
Thank you. This would be, using Melissa's description, the small F population, those that don't meet the criteria of inpatient hospitalization, they're not placed in the care and custody of the Commissioner of Mental Health. They're in the care and custody of the Commissioner of Corrections. They've been adjudicated or the court has determined they're with corrections. That being said, they have a mental illness that is too great to be in the general population. Their symptoms, their behavior makes them either vulnerable or dangerous. So this type, the plan, looks to create a therapeutic space for these people within that are currently in the correction system.
All right. So we're getting into some of the populations that would be served by this facility. And Secretary Gobe mentioned, you know, that he sees this as an overarching population-based plan. But certainly one of the ways that we can get at the populations and how this changes things is to talk a little bit more about some of the details in this plan. So the idea of this facility is that it would be campus style. So more than one building. It would be able to serve 925 beds, and those are broken up into several different populations and several different buildings. Commissioner Menard, could you go through some of the details of the populations and how many and where they would be?
Sure. some of the people that we're talking about, for example, are the people who are currently out of state, the 260 people out of state. This proposal in the future would create the capacity to end that program, to bring these inmates back to Vermont. Additionally, on the campus, there would be hospice, infirmary beds. These currently exist in the Vermont system, but not in one place for the efficiency of the mental health and medical providers.
Yeah, and I'm looking at stats too. While you're looking up some, I'll show what you have in the report. 175 beds for female offenders, 457 beds for male offenders, including those out of state offenders that you talked about. 120 beds for federal offenders, and part of that part of the proposal is to actually recoup some of the costs or to make this more affordable. Who are the federal offenders we'd be talking about, and why does that actually save us some money?
Right now, we have 60 federal offenders that we contract with the U.S. Marshals Service for. We're told, and I have no reason to doubt this, that these are Vermonters who are going through the federal versus the state system. They're people who may even have concurrent cases going in state and federal court. I think the additional revenue potential from going to 60 to 120 is about, I think it was $3 million was what we had discussed to offset some of the costs.
And this is because if you're in the federal system, the state is not paying the costs. It's a federal cost. And so we'd get money from the federal government. And if marshals are bringing somebody in from across the border as well, Secretary Gobe would or Commissioner Menard, would that count?
That's a different, whole different stream. These are people who are going through a federal court hearing in either the Rutland or Burlington federal courts. I think what you're referencing are the immigration and custom enforcement holds.
And that's different.
That is different. They're not included in this number. We're
Got it.
Not looking to expand that number. This is.
And they would not be in this facility?
Not necessarily. We don't hold beds at a specific facility.
Got it.
For those cases.
Okay.
Okay.
Some of the other, and we're just ticking off numbers here now, but 50 ADA compliant beds for aging and infirm male offenders. ADA is the Americans with Disabilities Act. And so is this to try to address one of the issues we also have within our correction system, which is we have a significantly aging population both inside and outside of corrections, and we are not really able to keep up with the pace of a rapidly aging inmate population in Vermont.
It is. That population is our highest growth population. We saw an increase of 8% in what we consider elderly, which is a much lower number than I think any of us in this room consider elderly. In a correction system, it's 50 and over. But it also addresses people who may be in a wheelchair, need more room to get through the door type of thing. It addresses the one floor versus multiple floors for access. And this is not just necessarily for men. In the women's area, we would also have ADA compliant cells.
50 forensic beds, we talked a little bit about that, 30 booking and receiving beds, 18 infirmary beds, including 2 hospice and 3 quarantine beds, and that's part of the prison population as well that we're talking about here.
Yes, that is.
And then 25 beds for youthful offenders through the Department for Children and Families, and this would be a contingency plan for Woodside based on Medicaid financing. Woodside is our juvenile detention center. Secretary Gobe, can you talk a little bit about this part of the plan?
Yeah, so these are 25 beds we hope we don't ever have to build, because I would much prefer to go with option A that is in the report, because, you know, as we said, the 925 beds is just part of what we're proposing. We're also proposing to build a new Woodside right near its current location. And so that would be its own facility for that population.
And Woodside, for people who aren't familiar with it, I can never tell. It's right near VPR headquarters, whether it's in the Colchester or the Essex side.
Essex.
It's right on the – so it's in Essex.
Right.
And it's a separate facility for juvenile offenders.
It is.
And so you are hoping that there will be a different plan for that.
Well, right. We're proposing to build a treatment facility. Currently, it's in more of a correctional setting, which isn't necessarily – perfect for what we want to do with treatment. That's some of the issues we have with the federal government around funding. We think we've worked through that. And so we hope by July to have the ability to draw down federal funds and then not have to go with the 25-bed option here. We put this here, the whole report is done as a, to give options because we knew there would be a big conversation about this. And, over time, you need options.
Commissioner Bailey, we've been talking about some of the details of the population that would be served by this facility. But Secretary Gobe started by saying that he really sees this as an issue or a solution to some of our problems with mental health care and facilities and not enough capacity in the system for the needs that we're experiencing in Vermont. How do you think that this plan addresses those needs?
Well, for one thing, having options available for people that are court ordered. Those are the folks that we've been hearing about that show up at emergency departments and wait for a bed availability in the long stay. So having some flow in that part of the system, being able to circumvent emergency departments and get people right to an inpatient bed is going to be really impactful. Additionally, we're currently in our level one beds system. So Vermont Psychiatric Care Hospital, Brattleboro Retreat, and Rutland Regional Medical Center are mixing civilly committed individuals with those that are forensically involved.
And can I stop
justice.
You there to,
yep.
to clarify? So when we're talking about that, somebody who has an involuntary commitment to the hospital but is not necessarily involved in the criminal justice system, those are two separate populations,
correct.
But right now they're often in the same
correct.
Place.
So at Vermont Psychiatric Care Hospital, we have mixed populations. And for the most part, I think the hospital, without a doubt, is doing a really good job managing those two populations. But there can be different approaches that are necessary given why they're there and what else they're presenting with.
So why would this help to separate those populations and to have people who are facing an involuntary commitment but who are not involved in the criminal system? Why will that be helpful for that population?
So it's helpful in that we're not mixing the populations. We're not having folks that are going through a lot of legal processes. They're having their lawyers visit a lot. They're having a lot of conversation about competency, et cetera. And there's a slightly different approach and expectation around restoration of competency, and we're having that conversation. Vermont doesn't have a mandate to restore competency. Other states do. And we're looking at that from a perspective of what skills do people need in order to go through their legal process in order to be found either guilty or innocent of the charges that they're facing. And we'd like to be able to build a little bit more capacity around those folks so that they have those options available to them. And then mixing those with the civilly committed, and we've talked about Jerry Psych a little bit, in Vermont State.
Jerry Psych being geriatric psychiatry.
Sorry, I'll try not to use acronyms and short phrases.
Who's Jerry Psych? Oh, no, now I know what you mean.
But having that population mixed as well. And we're trying to get a little bit better at the specialty populations. It's hard with Vermont's size to always have that, but this is an option to start to build some of that capacity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm, and I'm talking today with three key people in a new proposal to build a new 925-bed prison complex. It includes a lot more than that, but it is a correctional facility. We're talking with Al Gobe, Vermont Secretary of Human Services, Melissa Bailey, Commissioner of the Department of Mental Health, and Lisa Menard, Commissioner of the Department of Corrections. And let's go to Jean, who's calling in from Colorado Springs. Hi, Jean. Go right ahead.
Hi. This is Jean. I was a mental health case manager in Southeast Vermont for 16 years, and it gave me a very unique perspective of mental health in Vermont. And I can tell you, trying to drive from Springfield, Vermont, to Franklin County would have been very arduous for me and would have kept me from seeing an entire day's worth of clients. I know the same problem would be for Bennington going up to Franklin County. Is there any idea of how you would make it easier for people in those areas of the state to deal with clients that are in there that they're trying to get out?
Yeah, Jean, thank you for your call. And there are a couple different things to tackle here. First, Secretary Gobey, I'd like to go to you on the question of why you chose Franklin County for the basis of this report, because that's what all of the cost and the timeline is based on. But you've said right in the report, it could be somewhere else.
Right. So we felt strongly that we had to have a 10-year vision and that we had to model something, because you know, just the size of this conversation shows why. And so we chose Franklin County for a whole bunch of reasons, one of which is the highest deferred maintenance is at the correctional facility in St. Albans. So it makes sense from a business case. And so that's why we, you know, why we sort of modeled Franklin County. But we've said it could go anywhere in the state. There is one key point I want to make, though, as a campus, because if you break it up and spread it around the state, which we like to do in Vermont, and I understand that, you lose the efficiencies. And so then you lose the economies of scale that we have built in.
So we got a tweet from Matt who wants to know, is it possible to get a more precise location for this proposed facility? I've heard that it's the current prison site on the northwest edge of St. Albans. Can you confirm that? And that is what you're thinking?
No, we haven't picked it, and we're not being coy in any way. We didn't want to be that specific because we've never talked with the folks that live there. So, and the leaders of that area. So we just did this as a modeling exercise and without a specific piece of real estate in mind.
But when you talk about the deferred maintenance of that facility, you mean that one way or another, that facility would go away under this proposal.
So that facility would close. And part of what makes this work in the model that we have is that those employees would move to the new facility.
Got it.
And one point I would make is that this is not a plan to close all of the correctional facilities around the state. And I'll let Commissioner Menard cover that.
Yeah. And yeah. Why don't you tick through then, and then we can get to Jean's question about, you know, access to people and the difficulties of travel.
Sure.
But there are prisons that would close under this proposal.
Correct.
Or change, at least.
There are two facilities that are recommended for closure on this report, and that is the Chittenden facility in South Burlington. It currently houses the female offenders. And the Northwest facility in Swanton. Those are the two that are recommended.
And there's no plan for the Windsor prison included in this proposal?
There is not. That was a report, as you know, done last year. That's not included in this. Go ahead.
Okay. So there are some facilities that would close and that population would move to this new campus style. We talked about the possibility of Woodside Juvenile Detention Center also changing and perhaps being in this facility. But Jean's asking also about the travel. And, mm-hmm. you know, as Secretary Gobey said, we do have a system in this state of trying to decentralize and trying to make sure that people can be near their communities, near their families for rehabilitation, for mental health treatment, for all of these. So this seems like a departure from what the state and the federal government have been trying to move towards for 50 years.
I think overall the plan supports centralized for efficiency and services and regional for reentry and continued contact with your community. Marble Valley in Rutland, the St. Johnsbury facility, the Newport facility all remain open.
And Springfield.
And Springfield, yes. Thank you. Our newest facility we would keep open. Originally, the regional facilities were created for the purpose of keeping people in their home communities. But as our population grew and grew and grew, that became nearly impossible. All the movement just made it not feasible. But thankfully, there are significant technological advances in that time where we have video visitation. We have the tablets that people can visit on. We have telepsychiatry as an option, telemedicine as an option. There are a lot more opportunities in that regard than there were previously, but there is still the option, the goal, that as people get closer towards their reentry date, particularly from corrections standpoint, they would go back to their regional community for those community ties to be reestablished or established in some cases.
And if I could just add, you know, for the folks that are out of state, you know, that's, you know, so I would say, you know, on average, we're probably closer to our communities with this plan than with our current plan to have 262 currently folks out of state.
And just to clarify, this would not be a maximum security prison facility.
No.
There are people who will have to remain out of state for the duration of their sentences that will never be able to be moved back to Vermont.
That's correct.
Commissioner Bailey, when we talk about mental health care and we look at both what Governor Shumlin really pushed to put in place after Tropical Storm Irene, what the federal government has been trying to work towards since the Kennedy administration, it has been this decentralized, community-based system of care. And, you know, there are certainly, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can see the benefits of that. Are there also ways that we are not fulfilling our need to patients by having that decentralized system, whether it's, you know, the level of psychiatric care and then having to have that many practitioners in different areas? Or, you know, is there a reason that you can point to say we do need to consolidate in some ways?
Absolutely. And I think it is the economy of scale thing. So when we're looking for expertise and knowledge base, having some centralized spot is really helpful. And again, back to the population that we're talking about for mental health in this area, they do have some very unique needs. They clearly have mental health issues, but they also have, you know, some criminal behavior, perhaps some other issues that have contributed to where they are in life. And having that expertise consolidated in one place is really helpful. And, you know, when we talk about where in the state, that's also, you know, part of this conversation. And where in the state can we also get that expertise has to be looked at.
Lots of people want to weigh in, ask questions, share their thoughts. Sasha is calling in from Plainfield. Hi, Sasha. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I have two different issues, and I've changed a little listening to the conversation. First, I am a former assistant attorney general who had worked with kids in Woodside, and I'm really concerned about the idea even being floated of putting a juvenile population in with adults. It's been talked about a long time. It was talked about when Woodside was first established, and it just seems like a very, 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 very bad idea. I also have concerns listening to conversation about mental health issues that we have in the past for medical care, and I think mental health care as well, contracted in recent years, and that has not gone well, and I haven't heard any conversation of mental health and medical care being provided not on a contractual basis but by state employees who we can actually monitor and control their behavior and set standards for rather than through a contractor.
Sasha, when you talk about contracting out for mental health care, are you speaking specifically within corrections or in the
yes,
general
yes. Population? Yes. I mean, we do that for medical care, and we've seen the young woman die up in St. Albans, which was just inexcusable. Who was there for something very minor a few years ago. And I'm assuming, maybe incorrectly, that mental health care is provided for by contractors, and I am hoping to hear that that would not be the plan if this were this large facility. Obviously, there's some issues about a large facility anyway in terms of it just changing the culture and the environment and how people are typically treated. But
yeah, Sasha, let me pick up your questions there and turn them over to Secretary Gobay, because there are a couple of good ones there.
Yeah, you know, I think the first point I'd make is that, you know, when we describe this, we're talking about a campus style, and it would be spread over acres, not, you know, tiny, and it would be multiple buildings. And so, you know, I've said that, you know, we want the kids to be, you know, the adolescents to be in Essex where they are now, just in a new building. But in a campus style, you could put an adolescent facility. It would be a completely separate facility from the adult population. And so there are ways to do that, and other states have. But again, it's not our first choice. But we put it out there for conversation. I appreciate the caller's opinion.
And to the question of who's actually going to be providing care, Commissioner Menard?
Sure. Sasha's correct. Currently, it is a contract. It is currently with Centurion. They provide both mental health and medical. It's a conversation that happens annually to look at how would this be better administered? How could it be? Could it be even? Would it be better under state employees? Would it be better with designated agencies, local hospitals? This contract has been put out to bid a number of times. And we have to kind of look at who's bidding on it. We can't go out and award it to somebody who's not asked to provide the service. So that is that's part of it. As far as a state employee model, that, again, has been studied. We had a report, and I'm happy to provide that to you, a couple of years ago, done by an independent outside party that looked at the feasibility of that model. And certainly it's feasible. We've done it in the past. But to recreate the infrastructure for that would be fairly significant. But it could be done.
Let's go to Chris, who's on the line with us from Brattleboro. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Yeah. Oh, hey. How
Hi.
Are you?
Good.
Hi. Yeah, I'm somebody who that deals with mental health and for a while. And my biggest concern is the consolidation of a mental health facility with a prison population and having to deal with it just seems to compound the problem of being stigmatized as, you know, abnormal or something. And also, if one's a patient in said facility, that I don't think it helps them get better if they're also lumped in with a prison population.
Chris, I really appreciate your thoughts, and I want to clarify, and Commissioner Bailey, maybe you can help clarify this, because we've been talking, it's a lot of different populations, a lot of different numbers, a lot of different terms and concepts we've been throwing around, and so Chris is concerned about the possibility of a new facility where people who are not inside the correction system are in with the corrections population, and Chris is worried both about treatment, but also the stigma of if mental health is considered something that's criminal. And so,
correct.
Can you clarify when people who are not involved in corrections would be at this facility for care, if ever, and then address that question
of
stigma?
So, first of all, nobody who is not involved in corrections will be at this facility. I mean, it's very clear that the 20 beds that we're talking about in the 50-bed forensics are inpatient level of care. They will not be mixing with general populations. They will be in their own separate unit or however this gets designed, that is an inpatient level of care getting the treatment that they need. The individuals that are in the 30-bed forensic unit that's described are people that are already criminally justiced involved. So those were the individuals that Commissioner Menard described earlier who are serving out a sentence and then require a higher level of care. So our intent is not to bring a mixed population of individuals who are not involved in the criminal justice system in any way into the facility.
Got it. Okay. And do you think, you know, this question of stigma is a big one. It remains in mental health care, both in terms of treatment, you know, even despite our laws in terms of how insurance covers mental health care,
correct.
And in just the way the culture views people who have mental health needs and people especially who are suffering from severe acute mental health crises, the way that they're seen is often, you know, seen as either less than or criminal or somehow
right.
need to be put somewhere.
Right. And I think it's our job to continue to have that conversation. We could probably do a whole show on stigma.
And we have.
But I think it's really important to know that, again, there is a population that is involved in the criminal justice system, a pretty high percentage that does have mental health issues. So it's not like we can easily tease these two things apart. We have to continue to have the conversations. We work really closely with the Department of Corrections to continue to address those concerns.
Today, we're looking at the new proposal to build a large campus-style correctional facility. The goals include doing a better job of treating people in the correctional system who have mental health needs, and also freeing up some space in the current mental health system for people who are not under the supervision of the Department of Corrections. The backlog in treatment for people in crisis continues to be a major problem in Vermont. We're talking with Al Gobay, Secretary of the Agency of Human Services. It was his agency charged with coming up with this plan, and it's his report we're talking about. We're also joined by Mental Health Commissioner Melissa Bailey and Corrections Commissioner Lisa Menard. One of the things that has come up in this report and certainly has already been open to some raised eyebrows, if not criticism, is the question of who would build this facility and, in fact, who would own it. And there may be some confusion. The state would operate this facility. It would be under state control. But the plan is actually to contract with CoreCivic to build the
No, but glad you said that.
Good. So I'm getting a lot of shaking heads. So, Secretary Gobay, clear it up.
So there's some words here that we have to define. So people have said that that a private entity is going to build this and somehow that's bad. I would challenge that.
But a private entity will build it.
Will build it. Private contractors do all of our work. We don't have a state employee workforce that builds facilities for us. And so we would contract this out to a private contractor and they would build it. There'd be an architect, just like any project.
Sure.
The real issue that's going on here is there's a company called CoreCivic, which does design, build, and financing packages, I believe, from what I've been able to tell. Other states have used their services. There are folks that don't like CoreCivic and think that they're, not a good actor in this space.
In fact, Irma wrote a note saying, why is the state of Vermont thinking of having anything whatsoever to do with Corrections Corporation of America, now known as CoreCivic, one of the two largest private prison corporations in the country? Irma writes, a company up to its keister in investigations concerning poor management of state and national prisons.
Yeah, so where we're at on this is we did a population-based report to work on the weaknesses in our facilities. And we believe that a public-private partnership may be the best road for financing. So it'll be built by private contractors. We may need to partner with a private entity to work on financing, or we could bond for this. And in the report, we kind of say all of this. But
that's where that comes in, right?
Absolutely.
So somebody else would be building it. But the question is, who owns the facility and is the state leasing it from CoreCivic?
Yeah, so you get into all these legal words of what does it mean to own something, right? But the point is that public-private partnerships are done around the globe. They're done in all sectors, transportation, higher education, municipalities, et cetera. They're a way to finance something. And so we may use that model to come up with creative financing. We could use our bonding capacity. Those are all options that would be in front of us. We are not anywhere near the point. This is just a report. You would have to go through a whole bunch of work before you'd begin to work on a financing plan. So I just want folks to – it kind of came out like we were doing this, and it's not what we're saying at all. But nor have we considered it. It's not the work that we did.
Right. Right. Okay. So, but the question that comes up, the reason that people are wondering about this is because part of the proposal suggests that you could do this private-public partnership
sure.
and essentially lease the facility even if it's state-run, right?
And you could. That's a way to do it. So,
and the price tag we're looking at that you were thinking of for this report, again, could all change depending on the timeline, depending on the location, is between $140 and $160 million.
That's correct.
Got it. In the interim, there are things that need to happen regardless of what happens with this campus-style facility, whether it happens or not, what the timeline is. And there are major pressures, in particular on our mental health care system, that need to be addressed sooner than that. Commissioner Bailey, can you talk a little bit about what's in the plan for some of the facilities we have in existence and how things might change in the mental health care system?
Sure, absolutely. So we do have a temporary 7-bed secure residential facility in Middlesex, temporary, that was built after Irene and has been in the planning processes to be rebuilt permanently somewhere else, hopefully in central Vermont. That's certainly our goal. So we're looking at some different sites to do that and expand it to up to 16 beds, which will also help with some of the flow that's for individuals that are being ready to discharge from inpatient level of care and don't have the right plan to go to. So that would help in that arena. Having conversations with our other partners, hospitals, such as UVMMC, around building additional capacity for inpatient, something they have expressed an interest around, and we're exploring what that could also mean for our system. It's one of these things where each one of these pieces impacts the system in some way. And I really believe, and I believe Secretary Gobet is on board with this as well, as we do each piece, we're going to have to take a step back and reevaluate and say, okay, so what did that lead us to? What did that help with? And do we need to do something different? So we have this big 10-year plan and many pieces within that. And then each step along the way, we'll reevaluate to see if each of those other pieces are the right ones.
Secretary Gobet, can you talk a little bit about how federal funding comes into play here? And there are questions about how many beds in each facility and what the federal government will pay for. And that's an issue for us in several of our facilities.
It's a critical issue. And so we need another hour for that. But basically, you cannot have more than 16 beds in a sort of state-owned facility and draw down federal funding under Medicaid.
Specifically for adult psychiatric care.
For adult psychiatric care. You can for kids. And so – and it's a very, very confusing law that I'm trying to simplify. So I don't want anyone to say I'm not trying to be inaccurate here. But we lose funding in 2021 – for our state psychiatric facility in Berlin.
Which has, I think, 25 beds?
25 beds. It would have to go down to 16 or other options. Brattleboro Retreat, we would lose Medicaid funding for. And so, you know, those are very, very critical facilities we rely upon. And so we've got to figure something out now. And that's what we're – that's part of this report.
So we're – would you say in crisis now, not anticipating a crisis, but actually in one?
So we have had a mental health crisis that we have been very clear about. This is different. This is basically looking at the facilities you have and saying it's not just a question of do I build something new. What I have is structurally flawed. And I think that's the most impactful part of this report. If, you know, I mean, people grab hold of different parts of it, but that to me is the real message here, that we have a problem with our facilities that we have to address, some of our key facilities, because we won't be able to afford them if we don't.
This is a massive proposal. It would be a major change. It would be a major facility. It would change the way we think of corrections in the state. It has the potential to change the way we think of mental health care in Vermont. But it faces a lot of hurdles before we even get to the point where we're really working out the details. I mean, it needs to get buy-in from a lot of people around the state.
We're having a groundbreaking next week.
Oh, good. Great. Watch out. You're on the record, you know. But do you think this is really going to happen? Is this a proposal to spur conversation, to really sort of prod people to change? Or for any of you here, is this really something that you think the state needs and is going to be a problem if we don't have it?
So yes, we need a solution that's bigger than what most people would think. I think your point is well taken. Yes, a lot of people are going to have to sort of sign off on this. And it may not look exactly the way it does in the future as to the way that we presented it. And we in no way did this to be provocative. This is a well-thought-out case of an option for what we could do to move forward. One thing I want to be really clear about is we cannot stand still on these issues.
Well, we'll leave it there. That's a good place to pause and to reflect. And certainly as this moves forward, should it move forward, there will be a lot more to talk about.
Absolutely.
So I thank all three of you for being here today and in the future. Nice
thank
to have you.
You
on the program.
Thank you, Jane.
Al Gobay is Secretary of Human Services. Melissa Bailey is Commissioner of the Department of Mental Health. And Lisa Menard is Commissioner of the Department of Corrections.